Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode of the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel, and this week I am joined by Jesse. Jesse is the mom of two kids, Buddy and Lila. Both of them are on the autism spectrum, and we talk a lot about their story because it's pretty interesting. She was going through the diagnosing process for one of them when doing research and some investigation on her own. It came up that her other child could be on the spectrum, so both Buddy and Lila wound up getting formally diagnosed with autism on the same day. So we talk a lot about that and coming to grips with that. We're talking about speech devices and finding the right therapy fit for our kids because, you know, everything's not one size fits all and we got to figure out what works best. So I won't keep you guys any longer. Please enjoy my conversation with Jesse. All right, and I am back, and this week I am really excited to be joined by Jesse from Virginia. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I was really excited to get to talk to you because you have two kiddos on the spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah, a boy and a girl, right?
Yes, I have Lila. She is 9.
Okay.
And her little brother is Buddy. He's little, but he's really not. He's bigger than her, but he is 7. He'll be 8 in a couple weeks.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, both, like we said, are on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to start with Lila, kind of like to talk about some of the signs you may have seen or didn't see? Was her diagnosis a surprise or something that, you know, maybe you expected?
Sure. Yeah. So it might actually make more sense to start with Buddy.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
So, because with Buddy, he met some of those typical milestones, you know, not all. For example, he didn't ever really crawl. He pretty much walked the same week he crawled. Walking came easier for him, so he sort of skipped over the crawling part.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he was fairly steady with a lot of those typical gross motor milestones that parents like to tick off the list, you know. He also made perfect eye contact for the first year. But one thing that did always for Bud was his voice. He was always very, very vocal from the time he was a few minutes old. and he made little baby pterodactyl sounds. It was so cute. And then he started making these little sounds that sounded like Barry Gibb. It was so funny. But yeah, so the thing is, Buddy was born with a cleft palate, not the lip at all, just a cleft of the soft palate.
Okay.
And so we were told that even after that cleft palate repair, he would always have trouble talking. So he's kind of had multiple things working against him from the beginning when it comes to non-speaking. And he is non-speaking still at almost 8 years old. He is quite vocal, very loud. His vocal stems are as loud as they come. If he's around you and you're in mid-sentence when he starts a vocal stem, you learn pretty quickly, pause your convo until he's gotten it out. But yeah, he is a very happy boy, usually. From the time he was a few months old, I remember calling him the epitome of sweet. He just exuded sweetness, and he still does. He's impossible not to love.
Right.
His paraprofessional, that on her not so good days, where she doesn't feel like dragging herself to work, you know, those days we all have, Buddy is her motivation. She knows he'll be at school. She knows she'll get the best cuddles, squeezes, and sweet, silly smiles all day. So he's just the epitome of sweet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he.
And I love that because I'm so sick of like that misconception that people on the spectrum aren't affectionate because, you know, my son Alex is the same way. I mean, going to school, like he knows, he says hi to and knows like everybody from like all the teachers, the crossing guard, like I'm not joking, the janitor, you know, like he knows, like, you know what I mean? Like he his 6th grade yearbook last year. You know, I loved seeing all of the and like staff and everybody wrote like, you know, thank you so much for saying hello and goodbye to me every day. And blah, blah, blah. You know, like, so, you know, like I love hearing that buddies that same way.
I know there's so many stigmas that just all these kids are just breaking every day.
Absolutely.
So yeah, he actually started with early intervention from a very young age. I think it was about, I want to say, 6 months old.
Okay.
Before he got that official autism diagnosis. So we, and then we did, he actually, while after he started early intervention, you know, even though he didn't have that official diagnosis, he had that educational diagnosis, they call it, of autism, where they basically treat him as if he had an autism medical diagnosis, because it, the signs, the traits were all very, very obvious. So, but you know how those wait lists go.
Oh, I know.
With getting that diagnosis. In the meantime, that's where Lila comes in. So she, being a year and a half older, she reached every milestone as far as like motor skills and all that. Like, she just was super like our chatty Cathy from the beginning. She was talking before, I mean, she was singing before she was talking, which is like music is her thing. 4 months old when she mimicked her first like word, which was book, like clear as day. She was like, ah, book. when we were reading, I said, you want a book? You want to read a book? She said, ah, book. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, so cute. Like the mimicking, her skill for mimicking at a very young age, but she hit all the major milestones for sure. And we didn't see it coming whatsoever with her. It actually came one day, like hit me like a ton of bricks, me and my husband both, because when Buddy was in his early intervention, I obviously, I'm that mom that's new, has a child, and newly has a child in this autism world. And so I'm diving into the research, you know, just diving in head first. And I was reading all the things and watching all the videos, and I happened to come across this autistic, adorable adult girl in her mid-20s, I think, and her page is called Ask an Autistic, and the specific video was about echolalia, which at the time I had, and I'm over here just trying to look at every video and every article I can about autism to learn for Buddy, and then all of a sudden this video about echolalia I'm watching, and then it just like the glass shattered. All of a sudden I was like, oh crap. This is Lila.
Yes.
This girl is Lila. I cannot. And so I sent the video link to my husband. He's at the fire station. He's a firefighter. And he was gone for a little bit. I couldn't wait, you know, till he got home. And I said, watch this video and tell me what you think about having Lila evaluated too. And he was like, what? You know, like, no. And he watched it. And then he said, same thing I did. It was actually not as nice of a word as crap.
Now, how old and, was she at this point?
She was three and a half. But closer into, about three and a half. But when she actually got diagnosed, she was almost closer into four. So they actually were, we got that evaluation, and it was kind of expedited because she is a little bit older. So they actually were both diagnosed on the exact same day.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was a lot to deal with, obviously, but
yeah.
I kind of would have preferred it over, you know, I kind of got them both over at once, that initial grieving kind of feeling, you know.
Yeah, and kind of then just ripped the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, I just got it over with. I knew it was coming with Buddy. We knew it since he was really little, honestly. We just knew it. But with we did not see it coming, and so that was harder for us for sure to accept for a little bit. But once we did get that diagnosis, I remember giving myself one day just one day to be miserable in my little hole and just be depressed.
Right.
I was like, all right, enough is enough. Like, you had your day, time to get to work.
I love it.
So
I love it.
got to work. Not to say, obviously, that there are moments still to this day, you know, that you feel down or frustrated or
Oh,
discouraged
that,
about.
yeah. I mean, we
Yeah,
all have
that's
them.
gonna come. Yeah, but that's when, you know, the researcher came out. And so, yeah, ever since then, it's just been endless amounts of learning each and every day, you know, hours. And as you well know, as a parent of autism, that's what happens. It comes with the with the job. But yeah, Buddy did okay for less than a year.
Okay.
We are not fans of ABA. We moved on quickly. He burned out. He was making academic progress, but he emotionally, as sweet and as kind and amazing as those therapists were, we're not fans of ABA. I'm just going to
Okay.
end
No, that's fine.
it
Hey,
there.
you know
And
what?
then,
I mean,
yeah.
people need to like understand that like what works
Yeah.
for one family or one kid may not work for another. So,
Yes,
you
and you
know.
just got to do your due diligence with your research and not
Absolutely.
ignore any of the red flags with the company or the therapist. You know, you don't ignore that mama or daddy gut
Now,
feeling.
that
Yeah.
brings
So,
up one question I do have, because I do like it
yeah.
when I get people on here and we talk about like, you know, I'm sure your ABA therapist or ABA company, whatever it was, try to, I get, talk you out of it, talk you out of canceling that service.
Yeah.
What advice would you have to people that even if they like ABA, but maybe, you know, their therapist is not a good fit?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to parents about kind of sticking up for what you think is right for your kid?
Well, I think the first thing that pops in my mind is it doesn't matter how much training or schooling they had. They may have, gosh, they could have a master's in psychology or whatever, but they might have those credentials. But you, as the mom or the dad, you have the PhD in your child. So you are the expert. You are the biggest expert in your child. And so if you see, like, Buddy was actually making good progress when it came to making more sounds. Like, he was actually saying, like, guh and duh and buh and muh. And he actually regressed even to this day. He doesn't, it's not intelligible. It's not to be understood. All of his vocal stems now are not intelligible.
Okay.
You can't understand them.
Right.
But what's most important to my husband and I is my son's emotional health.
Right.
Yes. And we did not even realize how burnt out he was with ABA until we stopped. Talked just how ha much happier he was when we did put him into preschool. I thought there was no way I could leave him in preschool because he's non-speaking. He can't
Right.
tell me if something's wrong. There's no way. I can't handle that, you know? But I agreed. My husband was like, we have to try everything. We've tried ABA. It was not for us. You know, you can't mentally handle this right now, all of this. And he leaves for 24, sometimes 48 hours at a time for his shifts. And so it was just a lot. It was a lot. That was a pretty hard time in our life in general. We had some other things going on with family. My husband literally almost died in the hospital at one
Oh,
point. Like, it
jeez.
was just, there was too
Yeah.
much. And so we're like, okay, we're going to try the school thing. We can just pull him out if he's not happy.
Absolutely.
And oh my gosh, ever since that, we haven't taken him out. Like, he loves school and he goes to an amazing school that has, it is a gen ed school, but it has a special ed program.
Okay.
And so he goes, to this day, he goes, starts off with like circle time with his gen ed class, and then he spends a lot of time with a special ed class, and then he goes back again in the afternoon for gen ed for like the closing time. And then in
Cool.
between, he's got services, speech, PT, and OT, as well as he actually joins his gen ed class for whatever resource day, art, music, library, PE. He just loves it. He loves getting on the bus. I think that's a huge sensory input thing for him. Like he
Yes.
just loves it. He's so happy. Actually, he loves the bus so much that he's an AAC user, and he's still trying to master it. And we've been going through that process of getting him actually a different language app to see if it works better for
Got it.
he. Recently, he had to be casted, double cast, serial casted for his toe walking, which that could be a whole other podcast. His journey with his toe walking situation. But yeah, he was serial casted to be a car rider for 3 weeks for
Oh,
school, just because it was just a lot
yeah.
easier with the stroller that way. And so he told his teacher one day, near the end of those 3 weeks of being a car rider, he said on his AAC device, he said, angry bus. And so he was like telling us, why am I a car rider? Why am I not on the bus?
Exactly.
This is not cool. I love
You know what I love too
so.
is that he can tell you, he can
Yes.
express his emotions,
Yep.
you know.
He's getting there. Him grow and thrive with his AAC is just, oh my gosh, it makes my heart explode. Obviously, we would give anything
Right.
have our child have a speaking voice. We can tell it would be the absolute most adorable little voice. And you have those moments
Yeah.
where it kills you that your son might never talk, but it's just it makes the blow so much easier to deal
Yeah.
with when he can communicate, because that's the most important thing. If he's with us, that's all that truly matters. And he is learning not just how to request veggie straws or like that's great too, but he's starting, like you said, he's starting to actually express his feelings, which is just, I love it. I love when he tells me he's angry.
I bet. I bet,
know,
'cause
it's
that, you know,
amazing.
that now, how did you guys settle on an AAC? Like, did you, is that the first, I don't know how to put it, like speaking mechanism you tried? Did you try like PECS or letterboards or anything
Yeah,
first?
yeah. So we tried PECS first because that's what we kind of, like most parents, you just kind of do what you're told in the beginning with your
Yeah.
early intervention therapist or ABA therapist. And PECS is like the popular thing to do first with ABA, but as I've with all the research and as I've learned more and more, and I have really had to dive into AAC world, I have learned one of the very first things that you learn, the biggest thing, is that no child, like there's no prerequisite for a child being ready for AAC, and that's ro a robust AAC system. It's never too early. You've got kids that a year old that are already using these robust AAC systems. And so
Wow.
obviously PECS is great. In my personal opinion, PECS is great if you don't have access to AAC, but push for that AAC because just speaking from experience, there's no way to compare because there's so many issues with motor planning
Okay.
that PECS presents that makes challenging for a child, and we don't want challenging. We want the child to communicate as easily as possible. So having that robust AAC system as early as possible is just amazing. And I've learned a lot, even in just the last few months since starting my new Instagram account was on the spectrum. Like it, I have connected with so many different AAC users and AAC experts that, I mean, I can't even. It's been very humbling. I have learned so much about AAC, which is actually what led us to deciding to do a complete revamp of Buddy's AAC.
Yeah.
We feel like he kind of plateaued a little bit with Proloquo2go, which is the kind of the go-to usually
Yes, I've heard of
app.
that one.
So we're actually going to be switching to try LAMP, Words for Life. That's kind of maybe like the second most popular, I
Okay.
think. So yeah, we're gonna. He is a good kiddo, and he is smart, and his memory is outstanding. People realize because he's non-speaking, they don't realize that he. It's harder for people to know like how smart he is because he's non-speaking. It's not smack dab in front of you, but he is so smart, and he's got an amazing, amazing memory. And so he picks up those buttons so quickly. If you them for him, he gets it after the first one or two tries. So
Oh,
it's
that's
pretty
great.
cool to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, now how about
And
Lila? What
yeah,
is what,
she.
go ahead.
Go
Yeah, kind of like
ahead.
what is her day like? How old is she now?
Yeah,
And
she's 9 and a couple months ago, and
okay.
she was in public school for 2 years of preschool, kindergarten, and then most of first, and then happened. Of course, we had both kids at home during the worst of COVID,
Yeah.
but with Lila, we all assumed that she would need public school because of her social skills that she really, really needed to work on. And she desperately wanted to work, but you could tell she's always been that girl, that kid that just wants friends, and she wants to have conversations with friends and to play with friends, and she just is so social. Oh my goodness. When she's at the playground or at the anywhere, museum, my husband and I always laugh because immediately, within seconds of us entering any place where there's other kids, the kids flock to her. They go, she just exudes this sociable presence that,
Yeah.
like, she's very approachable. And so, yeah, she's to have better social skills, and she has expressed that to us. And so we thought, oh, she needs public school for have that peer setting, we were very pleasantly surprised. And COVID, the silver lining of COVID was that she was forced to stay home with me, and the virtual learning through the school system that lasted about 3 days. She had severe panic attacks. They expected way too much from her, and they were not being accommodating enough. And I said, nope, it's not good. It's not acceptable.
Yeah, we had a
So
similar situation.
yeah, it didn't work out. So I was like, all
Yeah.
right, we're doing the homeschool thing. So she's still homeschooling.
Okay.
I decided last year to keep it going, and then again this new school year, I asked her what her preference was, and she loves being at home with me. She loves being able to not sit at a desk for the whole day. And as much as we thought that she might regress with her speech, not being in school with all those peers, the opposite has happened. And I think because she is home with me, and it's like 24/7 speech therapy for her, because we're
Awesome.
on all day, as
Yeah.
opposed to being in class where she can't really speak unless she raises her hand and she might not get called on, and that spontaneous thought is, so it has worked out really well for her. But she also does outside speech therapy as well as occupational therapy. So yeah, we do therapy Thursdays. I pull Buddy out of school every Thursday because I don't want him to burn out and have school and so he has every Thursday morning off. That is his buddy morning. And then we do therapy Thursday starting from afternoon on Thursday. So it
Nice.
works out well for us. Yeah. So they both are happy. This is, I feel like even with everything, all the chaos we have going on in our life right now, I feel like both of our kids the healthiest and happiest that they have ever been.
And
So,
that's what's most
yeah,
important.
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, I have 3 kids of my own, You've got two. I know how difficult it can be for my three boys to, get along with each other. Usually one of them's mad at one, I don't think they all get, how is that for you?
So when they were little, Buddy would always look at Lila and smile as she would like quote movie scripts, but that was about it. He didn't really engage with her. We had a lot of sad, tearful little convos with Lila when she was younger. Why doesn't Buddy want to play with me? Does he not love me? You know, that was heartbreaking, obviously. It definitely took time for years for them to have the bond that they do now. It is amazing what they have now. It all boils down to, with Buddy, you have to connect with him. You have to join in his world. You have to bridge the gap between your two worlds with him. And it's so possible to do that if you just know him and what he loves and what gets him going. You know, Lila learned that through us modeling for her, you know, oh, this is what makes Buddy so happy. And that's what's going to get him to want to bond with you, you know? And so she learned quickly, but it still took a little bit of time and practice. And I would say until about a year or two tops ago is when he started like actually grabbing her by the hand and leading her like go play. And it just, it still lights her up, which lights us up, like to see how happy she is that he's choosing.
Yeah, no, I love it. It takes patience because, with our three boys, Alex just turned 13. When our middle guy, Daniel, who's 9, was younger, you know, they were inseparable. But then as Daniel got older, and he kind of developed his own interest in everything. And it didn't always, you know, match up with what Alex was interested in. So, you know, the last few years have honestly been a little difficult between the two of them because, you know, Alex will tell you, like, well, Daniel doesn't like what I like. You know, so as Daniel's gotten older and he's understood more, about, like you said, meeting Alex where he's at. I don't want to jinx myself, but you know what I mean? It has gotten better. Yeah. Like Alex and our youngest, Oliver, who's 5, are inseparable now because, you know, Oliver's still at that stage where he'll do whatever his big brother says. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so sweet. It's amazing to watch. I'll have people message me and they're like, oh, I wish so badly that my kids had that bond. You're so lucky. And
it'll happen.
It takes time. It takes time. And they have to see you. They have to see you modeling for them. Even if it means, look, okay, so the little sibling just wants to put blocks in a basket all day. All day. Put blocks in the basket. Dump it. Put blocks in the back. Do it with them for 2 hours straight. Like, just do it so that they can see, okay, well, this is how, this is what to do in order to create that bond and connect. You know, it's just every family dynamic is different and you just kind of got to find your groove, and it's so worth it when you just keep at it. So,
yeah.
Very sweet payoff.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I've taken up a lot of your morning here. Thank you so much coming on today. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. If people want to connect with you, I know you gave out your Instagram handle again, but would you want to give it out one more time just in case people didn't get it the first time?
Yes. It is Siblings on the Spectrum. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you again, Jesse. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you guys again for tuning in again this week. Don't forget to leave me those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. You can always hit me up on Instagram at the Spectrum Dad Pod. Before I let you guys go, here is the Spectrum Dad joke of the week. Why is Peter Pan always flying? Because he never lands. I'll talk to you guys next week. See you later.